2 Timothy chapter 1 is this short verse. You probably won't have time to turn there by the time I read it one time. But it's the verse, "You then, my son," and the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. God bless His Word and just open His Word to us tonight. This has been on my heart some for the last couple of weeks. To give credit where credit's due, really, I looked at an old writing I had from the Bill Gothard seminars years ago. And on one of those sheets that had to do with us husbands, us men, being a blessing to our wives and our families and so on, it got into this subject of God's grace. And the definition he gives on that page to God's grace is the desire and the power to fulfill God's will. I'd never heard a definition quite like that for grace, because I've always kind of followed that definition that all of us have probably repeated, God's unmerited favor. And that's a good definition, God's unmerited favor. But what's going on when grace happens? When God's grace happens, and how can you be strong in that grace? How can you get any stronger in the grace of God than you are right now? Why would it be in the book if it wasn't possible? Why would the command be there if Timothy couldn't do it? Be strong in God's grace. There's another scripture that says, grow in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I began to think on grace, and I felt that God quickened in my heart how this matter of when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And one of the scriptures is there in Ephesians 2 verse 8, where it says, "For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift from God." So I thought about that. Now, how did God save us by His grace when we were still in our sins, and we were saved through faith by grace, and this not from yourselves, it's the gift of God? And it just seems like to me that it means we were willing, something caused us to be willing for God's grace to save us. He didn't force it on us. He didn't push us and make us robots to say you have to be saved. For somehow we became willing. God's Spirit worked upon us. Even that was a work of grace. And then all of a sudden, we were transformed by the saving grace of God. And when we became willing for God to take over in our lives, God worked an act of His grace within us and gave us the desire and the power to do His will. Now, that's what it meant to me. When we became willing, God actually did something so loving and so full of grace that He gave us the desire and the power to do His will. I mean, there's something going on in you and me tonight as a believer in Jesus Christ. When God gave us the desire and the power to do His will. Now, sometimes we become frustrated because we think God's will is for us to do so and so, and God may have been contented with what we were already doing. Now, that doesn't really help you very much, except to say that be careful of how much more of God's will you think you're supposed to do until you can tell that He's giving you the power to do it. It's not enough just to have the desire to do it, but I like that part of the definition that Bill Gothard gave, was that he believes it's an act of God that gives you the desire and the power to do His will. Sometimes I think we kind of hear from God and we believe it's God, and we go ahead and we step out a little bit, and sure enough, it was God. And we get more confidence that it is God's will. And so don't be beat down over the fact that maybe you didn't step out as fast or as far and do as much for God as you should. Realize that you did. You did step out as you did, and God did help you as He did. And don't worry about the rest. Somebody else will pick up after you and I have done our part. Now, that's one way that I feel peace about putting it. Well, it's so amazing then, in my view, that God would do this for us when we were non-Christians and unbelievers. Because it almost doesn't make any sense, except Jesus died for everyone. And because Jesus, God's gift of grace, was for everybody, God is just happy to reach out to an unbelieving non-Christian who becomes willing to listen and receive what God has for them. So that has a little bit of a circumference of how we, when we were yet sinners, received the grace of God. So the Apostle Paul is saying, be strong, Timothy, in God's grace. Now, what I felt the Lord was really directing me this way for was because there would be some of us here tonight that were in a place of maybe weakness. I don't know if could be a weakness in our spiritual desire to really, like we don't have any energy spiritually anymore and we feel weak, or we want somebody else to pray through and we're tired of praying, or we have some weakness spiritually that we've lost some of that desire. And that we needed to hear God's word say to us again tonight, be strong in the grace of God. Be strong within that grace of God that's for you. Realize that in our own human existence, there will be times when we sense weakness. But go back to the grace of God that's for you. Go back to the grace of God that's working within you and be strong in that. Try to define what God is really doing in your life that is a work of His grace and take a pleasure in that. Take a joy in that. Take a contentment in that. Take a rejoicing in that and be strong in the grace that God's already given you. I thought another area of weakness could be not being as strong as we should be in expecting God to do what His Word may be saying to us. I believe God leads us into portions of the Word that we're ready for at particular times, don't you? Yes. And when God's Word seemed to be speaking into our life, then it's sort of like not letting the moment pass without taking advantage of it and realizing God's moving on me through this right now. And Father, I believe that it's from You, Lord. And I believe that You want me to grow in this grace that You're working in my life. And I want to be stronger in it. And I claim it and I stand upon it. And I really believe there's something so great that happens sometimes when we are literally just reading the Bible. When we are literally just reading the Bible, I believe there's something of God's strength that actually builds up in the human person. And it just seemed to me God wanted us to say, look at what grace has done. Look at what grace is doing. Pardon me. I got to stop because I'm thinking about Troy and his wife, Grace. And I know Troy is sitting there saying, oh, God, thank You for what grace is doing. Thank You, Lord, for what grace has done in my life. And it just seemed appropriate just to stop and just rejoice with you, Brother Troy. So first we've talked about the definition of grace. Then we've talked about grace that began at salvation. Then it seemed like that verse about how to get more grace stood out to me in James 4, 6, and 7. He gives us more. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God, it says. That's kind of another way of saying what I was saying about seizing the moment that God seems to be bringing alive in your heart and life. And maybe being content with what God's doing right now at this moment in your life. Not that you're not hungry for more and you do want to grow in God's grace, but there's also a rejoicing and a joy and a contentment in God that says, Lord, You're big enough to handle anything. You're big enough for my life to reflect Your grace. God, I believe You keep Your word, and I believe I can grow stronger and be strong in the grace of God. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. It takes humility to admit that we need from another source outside ourselves and that is stronger and smarter than ourselves. And God responds to that humility of mind and heart, I believe. Proverbs 18:12 says, "Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, but before honor is humility." Oh, God's word is good, isn't it? So humility leads to honor for your life. And then fourthly, there's this word about grace that is actually in a teaching process in our life. And here's where that comes from. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." Mark, if it gets any better, what are we going to do? And it's just like the grace of God is constantly teaching us good things. I mean, we may not feel like we're smart enough to learn a lot of college level, high level, educated level, but the Spirit of God teaches us right where we are. The grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and live a godly life, looking how he redeems us from all wickedness and purifies for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. This describes a strong life in the Lord. Be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, would you stand with me? Praise God for his word. Praise God for his word, Brother Owen. Praise God for his word. Hallelujah. Lord, just let your grace work deeply within us. Lord, just let your grace bring fulfillment to us that we are conscious of who we are and content with how God's grace is mighty, how God's grace has saved us, how God's grace is teaching us, how God's grace is leading us. And thank you, Lord, tonight for hearts that were hungry and humble to come to this service and seek the face of God and to love you, Lord, and to receive what you have done in our lives. And now the grace of God be with each one. Oh, your grace, Lord, that accomplishes your desires. Your grace is sufficient. Your grace is great. Your grace was multiplied. Your grace still gets multiplied. Thank you, Lord, tonight for grace in our lives. And so now may that work of growing in your grace, may that work of the riches of your grace strengthen each one. And Lord, in that we go tonight with the joy of the Lord in our hearts and with the gratitude unto you, Lord. Thank you for each other in the body of Christ. Thank you for your grace. May each one just prosper and be in health even as their soul prospers. Lord, just that prosperity of spirit as well as finance, that prosperity of spirit as well as the physical body. May they prosper and be in health even as their soul prospers. Thank you, Lord, tonight for that joy. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.